Good morning. As always, it's a privilege to stand here before you and get to share what God has been stirring and moving in my own life and in my heart. And a few weeks ago, when I was sitting here in church, I just felt like God brought me this message and said, I want you to share this. So here we go. There was a young man that grew up, I guess, in the 40s and 50s. And when he was 14 years old, his mother died. And then he grew up, and he became a songwriter and a singer and a musician. And he was in a band called the Beatles. And 40 years ago, he wrote a song called Let It Be. And I grew up listening to that song. I had the record. I listened to it a lot. And if you're familiar with that song, which probably many of you are, it was one of their most popular hits. He says, when I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me. And I used to listen to that song growing up, and I always connected that to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Just in my mind, though, if you listen to the words of the song, in fact, I'm going to put them up here for you. Do I have to turn this on? I don't do this often enough. Okay, thanks. Oh, there it is. There are the words. And that's a picture of Mary when she received the news that she was going to, it's a portrait of that, when she received the news that she was going to give birth to Jesus. And the words to this song just speak so clearly to, they spoke deeply to my heart when I listened to it, because we all find ourselves in times of trouble. And then I used it, and then I grew up later on in my Christianity, and I thought, oh, well, they're worshiping Mary, because he was probably Catholic, and I kind of went down that road and thinking, that's not good. And so that song just was running through my head a few weeks ago when I was sitting here and thinking about Advent and thinking about Jesus coming to us through Mary. And so I went home and I looked up the inspiration for this song from Paul's life. And it was actually when the Beatles were breaking up, Paul had a dream. Actually, they were going through a lot of tension. They were on the verge of breaking up at this point. And he had a dream, and in his dream, he was having a conversation with his mother, and his mother's name was Mary. So there you go. It wasn't written about Mary, the mother of Jesus, at all. But it's interesting to me also that God could use somebody like Paul McCartney, and with a dream that he had about his mother, to touch my heart and to speak to me throughout the years. And somehow that song was very consoling to me. And there are parallels to this song that I think go along with the annunciation of Jesus' birth to Mary. And so before I continue, I would like to ask Ryan to play this song for us. And I would like you to just listen. And as you listen and see the words, see if you can see the correlations that even are there between from this song and in relationship to Gabriel's visit with Mary.
Find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. Though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There's the words of wisdom, let it be. And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine on till tomorrow, let it be. Wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. 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 Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
So this morning I'd like to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, "What kind of greeting is this?" But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Actually, I was going to give you the picture a little better. So in looking at this a little deeper, to start with, Gabriel comes and says, "Greeting, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And what was Mary's response? She was troubled. It said she was afraid and she was troubled. And as I reflected on that, I thought, well, how would I feel if an angel appeared to me? Would I say, "Oh, hi"? You know, I don't think so. I think I would be a little bit troubled and afraid too. Like, is this real or am I hallucinating or what? And yet the angel was there to give her good news. And I think at this point, though, I don't think Mary could see the good at that point. I don't think she had eyes to see that. So Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." And then he proceeds to tell her what's going to happen. "You're going to conceive, give birth, and it's going to be the Son of God." Well, that would be quite amazing, I think, if we got a message like that, any of us. But what really I wanted to bring out was her response. Because what Mary did is she asked for clarification. She asked the angel, "Well, how can that be? How is this going to happen? I mean, you know, this is an impossible situation. I can't have a baby. I haven't ever been with a man." And the interesting thing about Mary at that point, though, is she didn't ask why. Why me? You know, and I think a lot of times, at least for me, when I think about that in my own life, I tend to ask the why question a lot, especially when things happen to me out of the ordinary, or things that I don't like, or things that I don't understand. And there's a lot of things that I don't understand that go on in my life, especially difficult times. And I usually ask God, "Why is this happening to me?" And Mary didn't ask that question. She didn't say why. She just said, "How? How is this going to happen?" Because she still couldn't see. She couldn't see God's plan. She couldn't understand it. And so she asked for clarification. And so Gabriel gives her that clarification and says, "This is going to be a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and you are going to conceive." And then after that, Gabriel says, "Even Elizabeth was her cousin, yes? Your cousin, who's beyond childbearing age, is going to have a baby." Which I think that, and looking at that and reflecting on that, I think that that was given to her because all throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, women that were barren were a sign of something I can't do it, but God can. This is an impossible situation. I can't make this happen, but God can. And it was the same thing for Elizabeth. Elizabeth was beyond childbearing age, and yet there she was pregnant. And I think that God, in his love and his mercy toward Mary, said, "Here, see, I can do the impossible, and I'm going to give this to you." I think there's many different reasons why. Obviously, Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist, who was the messenger of Jesus, but I think it was also, it could have been anybody, but God chose somebody related to Mary, so Mary had somewhere to go for comfort and for strength and for encouragement to say, "God can do the impossible. God's doing the impossible in my life. And look what God is doing with you." So I see that as a beautiful gift from the Lord to Mary, too, in the midst of her interesting circumstances. Wait a sec. I got to go back. So Mary's response after she hears all of this is she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And what I really love about that is Mary was an example of total receptivity, totally saying yes to God. And I was even thinking about the songs that we were singing and saying yes to God, and how when we say yes to God ourselves, God can do amazing things in our life. So I wanted to look at that and think, well, why is it then that we don't say yes to God? Sometimes we say no. And I think it's because we don't like to suffer. We don't like difficult events in our lives. And so it's hard for us to give, to surrender, and to trust God in the midst of those times. And so I asked the question, are difficult events gifts? Was that a gift to Mary? I mean, the angel said, you found favor with the Lord. So that means I'm giving you a gift. And so what did that gift bring to Mary? Really, in reality, I mean, it was a gift, but what it brought upon her life was suffering, humiliation, and danger. If you think of the whole story of the birth of Jesus, they were always running out of town because they were being pursued, and they were in danger. And then it's like, here, I'm going to give you this beautiful gift, and then I'm going to have you travel on a donkey probably to another town, give birth in a stable, you know, not a very clean environment, and that's your gift. And you're also going to get to be pregnant without being married. You know, that's going to be kind of humiliating to the people around you. This is what she walked through. There isn't a lot of commentary in the Bible on that, but we know. Think about that. And then they were always in danger because there were forces at work that wanted to destroy Jesus. So her life, and then there was such joy and such sorrow in being Jesus' mother. I mean, and I think any mother in here could say there's joy and there's sorrow in being a mother. She experienced a lot of suffering and a lot of pain throughout Jesus' life as well. So really, that event, the Annunciation, the time when the angel came and said, this is what's going to happen to you, I'm going to change the whole course of your life right now. God said, right now, I'm changing the whole course of your life. This is how it's going to go. And I think if you read that over again, read that scripture, it doesn't say that the angel gave her a choice. It doesn't say that the angel said, and you get to choose. Are you going to say yes or are you going to say no? And I don't think she had a choice. The angel just declared, this is what's happening. This is what's happening in your life, Mary. And so she got to say, let it be unto me. You know, going away from Paul McCartney, that was her words of wisdom. Her words in her heart at that point, she was able to say yes to God. Say yes for whatever you bring. And okay, now I just lost my train of thought. So I'll go back to my notes. I know. So if we were going to say no, you know, because we do have the choice to say no. There's been many things, difficult events in my life where I have resisted and resisted and resisted and resisted and said, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to go through this. And you know what? It didn't change anything. It didn't change anything. I had to go through it. I had to go through those circumstances, and still do. There are things in my life that God wants me to go through, and he wants me to grow from. And when I resist and I say no, it just causes more suffering on me. And the beauty of Mary is she was able to say yes. Yes, I will walk this way with you, God. I will go with you. And so she's a beautiful example to me of somebody that did that. And then that she was able to completely surrender and trust her life to God in that way. And it was interesting, Bruce actually pointed out to me a few weeks ago, I was talking to him about speaking, and he said, and he reminded me of the fact that Jesus, toward the end of his life, had the same decision in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he had that, and he said, and who did he learn that from? From his mother. And I thought, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. I hadn't really thought about it that way, that she had modeled something beautiful even in her surrender and her trust in God for Jesus, the Son of God, to want to say no. He was resisting. It says that he sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane because of the intensity of his situation. He was going to give his life. And he chose instead to say, let it be. Let it come to me. I'll take it. And he didn't resist. And his non-resistance, even throughout Jesus' life, led him to suffering, humiliation, and danger. Same things, you know. And I think that this life, I think every single one of you in your own way, whatever it may be, there are going to be those times in your life where you're going to be faced with those situations. And if we can be present with God and be aware of the fact that God is with us and walking through those things with us, then we can be comforted by that. And that's the beauty of the Bible and of the stories of the many different people and how they chose to walk with God. That's what I love about Mary. The beautiful thing about our relationship with God that I feel too is that God comes to us through great love and great suffering. Those are the ways I think that when we feel greatly loved, and I think this happens a lot between us, when we feel greatly loved and when we go through deep suffering is when we connect deeply to God. We know that God is real and with us. And I just, as I get older, I guess this happens when you get older, I see every year in the times when we reflect and we look and we celebrate the life of Jesus and Jesus coming to be our Savior, I continue to see great sorrow, great suffering, and great love at the same time, all around me. And I hear that even in the midst of this congregation and everywhere I go, you know, in everybody's lives, both of those things exist together, and we move together through those. And I'm very thankful that even when I resist, God doesn't resist me. When I resist, God pursues me. God comes after me with great love and says, let me be here with you when I'm in great suffering. So I'm just very thankful for that. I think, you know, in this song too, speaking words of wisdom, I think the words of wisdom was Mary's surrender and trust in the will of God, and for her to be able to just let go and say, okay. And then as when I listen to this song a lot too, it says, there will be an answer, and that answer is Jesus. That answer is what Christmas is all about. That answer is that Jesus has come to love us, to save us, and to be with us. And then at the end of the song, it says, there is still a light that shines on me, shine until tomorrow. And I always, that's why, you know, I thought, he didn't know he was writing this song and how much it was deeply touching me spiritually, but I think the light that shines on me is the light of God, and it shines on all of you. The light of God shines on us, and that is our hope, that is our prayer, is to say, shine until tomorrow, shine, and God will shine forever. And that's the beauty of God's love. And so the last thing I wanted to share with you is over Thanksgiving, Bruce and I went to Bend, Oregon, to visit our daughter and son-in-law. And the first night that we were there, I woke up in the middle of the night. Actually, I had this very strange dream. And it actually involved my mother, which is kind of weird that happened. But anyways, I had this dream, and it woke me up. And a lot of times when I have dreams and I can't go back to sleep, I just ask the Lord to speak to me even through that and show me some things that he wants to show me. And in the course of my thinking about that and moving along, in my thoughts, I thought about the fact that many times when I sit with people in spiritual direction, I ask them, what do you want? What do you want from God? And a lot of people don't think about that very much. What do you really want? And I felt like when I was laying there, I thought, well, what do I want? What do I really want from you, God? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things we want. But at that moment, what came to me was, ever since I was very young, I've always wanted to be able to write a song. And I've made many attempts, and they've never been very good. So I've never really written a song. And then I ended up having a daughter who just writes song after song after song after song. And they're beautiful, and I really appreciate her songwriting and singing. But while I was laying there, I just laid there, and I just felt like God gave me this song. And so in the morning, I got up, and I told Bruce, leave me alone. I got to write this down. So I wrote down the words to this song, and I wanted to share it with you. I gave it to Ryan and Emily, and I said, would you put this to music? And so they're going to sing it for you. And the title of the song is Mercy and Love.
Down before you, I have nothing to lose. I am naked and bleeding. It's you that I choose. My life is a mystery as I journey through time. I need sight for my blindness as I call you mine. And I cry out for mercy. And I cry out for love. Pour your spirit upon me like a rain from above. And I cry out for mercy. And I cry out for love. Pour your spirit upon me like rain from above. So now I surrender. It's you that I trust. This world offers nothing but diamonds and rust. And when my journey's over, I'll be passing away, and your arms open to me on that shining day when I cry. Rain from above. Oh, cry out for mercy, and a cry out for love. Will you pour your spirit upon me like rain from above?
I guess what I would like to really encourage you all to do in this Christmas season is to pay attention to God and the ways that maybe you might want to resist and say no, and where God brings you something where you can just surrender and say yes. One thing that's beautiful about songs, I mean, we looked at songs. I gave you different ones to look at today, but Mary, after she received this news, she also wrote a song, and we know it as the Magnificat. And in that song, she talks about the mighty works of God and God's great mercy throughout time, throughout history. It's a beautiful song. And so I leave you with that, and I just pray that this season of celebration will be one of great love. And in the midst of suffering that is around you, that great love will come to that suffering.